Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 24. Matthew chapter 24, we have read these verses in connection many, many times with the coming of the Lord, and it is a reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Matthew and also in Luke concerning Noah, and then also concerning Lot. We'll read those familiar verses again tonight. I'm not going to be dealing with the coming of the Lord. I'm going to be dealing with something entirely different. And it's amazing how you can look at Scripture, and you've looked at it so many times, and if you're not careful, you'll have tunnel vision, and you think that's the only subject that is there. But there's a lot of subjects out of the same verses over different periods of time as the Lord directs us. And so tonight I want us to look in these verses in Matthew chapter number 24, and we'll look at verse number 37, just as a sort of starting place. It says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that the goodman of the house had known the watch the thief would come. He would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up." Now turn over to the Gospel of Luke, and it gives you a little more detail in the passage or what's spoken of here. It tells you in verse number 26, Luke chapter 17, it says again, talks about the days of Noah, but then in verse 28 it says, "Likewise, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also be the days of Lot." The Scripture says, "Likewise, also, it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Now, I know the primary thought here is the coming of the Son of Man. It's not talking about the rapture, it's talking about the coming, the second coming of the Lord, when He is revealed, when He is made known to the world, and one day that will happen. A lot of events will take place before that happens, but we do know that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they'll see Him, they'll know Him, and the Bible says the Jew will look upon Him whom they pierced, and they will recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to think tonight, not along the line of the second coming of the Lord, but along the line of the generation that lived when Noah lived and the generation that lived when Lot lived. I believe we find in the Scripture that the Bible tells us without any question that those two generations of people, they certainly had their problems, and they, as a generation, died without hope and died without the promise. And they died, and we would say, and as the Scripture teaches, they went to hell. So tonight I want us to think about these two groups of people. They were separated by a number of years. They are totally different in their locations and totally different in what was taking place other than the condition in which they lived. But the end result was the same. They died without God. They died without the promise. They died and they certainly, surely went to hell. And so I want us to think tonight about these two generations and why or what is behind their rejection and their not coming to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, the God of Noah. Why did they not know the Lord when Noah preached? And why did they not know the Lord in the days of Lot? Two different stories, but some things are the same and some things are different. First of all, I want us to think about the days of Noah. Now, we're not going to take the time and go back into Genesis chapter 6 and see all the things that are said there. But the Bible tells us that they were eating here in Luke, as we read. It says they did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. There in Matthew, where you read, the Bible says they knew not until the flood came. Well, they knew not because they would not listen. There was this generation of Noah and the day that he lived, and Noah was a preacher of the gospel, what we would call the gospel. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was a man that had a message from the Lord, and that message was that God was going to destroy the world because of its wickedness. But yet this generation was so full of their own self and full of worldliness, the Scripture declares that they knew not what was taking place until Noah went in, God shut the door, and the rains began later, and the fountains of the deep were broken up. And the Bible says they knew not until that particular time. Well, the Scripture tells us that God had told Noah that he was going to give mankind 120 years. Now, I believe that Noah was a preacher. The Scripture tells us that he had a message, and he gave that message to those that were around him. But yet his generation, they all died and they perished in the flood. The wickedness was so great and the ungodliness was so manifest and pronounced that whole generation died without God. The only people that were delivered, of course we know the story there in Genesis chapter 6 and 7. The only people that were delivered from that was Noah and his wife, his three sons and their three wives, and of course the animals that Noah took into the ark. And so here's a whole generation of people. And by the way, just because there was only eight in the ark, I believe that Noah's world was a world filled with population. It was a world filled with multitudes of people, but yet they perished without God. Now, what is the reason for that? Well, I think, first of all, one of the reasons is because of their worldliness. The Scripture says they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and that just shows us a continual process of doing the things that they desired to do and doing the predominant passion of what men wanted and to pursue the things that the world had to offer and exclusively attending to their own needs and never having any idea of the spiritual needs that Noah was trying to tell them about. Genesis 6 tells us and reveals to us the terrible ways of what man had done, and tells us how that there was an ungodliness around, and Noah's neighbors did not even know what he was talking about. And I believe Noah had neighbors. I believe he had folks that he was preaching to, because God told him, "I'll give you 120 years, build an ark." And as he built, I believe he proclaimed the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this world that Noah lived in was a world that was filled with worldliness. It was filled with ungodliness and taking care of its own affairs and its own self. The Bible says there that in verse number 5 that God saw the wickedness of man. Genesis 6:5, God saw that man was wicked. And it doesn't just stop there, but it says every imagination of his heart, everything that he thought about was wicked and worldly and ungodly. Everything that he did was connected with ungodliness. And God looks down from heaven and he sees that wickedness. And the Scripture says that even the imagination of his heart was on evil continually. And the Bible says here, the Lord says, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them." God looks down upon his creation that once he said was good and very good, and now a process of time has gone on and civilization has progressed, and now God looks up on that creation that we've studied about in our Sunday school lesson about the creeping things and the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. All those things are mentioned right here in Genesis 6, and the Bible says, God says, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth." And the reason of that is because from the time that Adam and Eve fell into sin. Now sin has progressed, and a whole generation and a whole civilization of people are totally ignorant of what God would have for them to do and what God had for them. Even though Noah was a preacher of righteousness, even though the Bible says that Noah walked with God, I'll guarantee you his walk stood out. I believe he probably was one of these fellows in his family that were looked down upon by his generation and his society as being something that totally foreign to their thoughts and their ideas, because the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and that Noah walked with God. And Noah had a relationship and had a fellowship with the Lord. And the Scripture says that Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the Bible says in verse 11 that the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now there's not one good thing that God says about this generation and this civilization or this society. Not one good thing is said about it other than one man, and that's Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He has, they have their children, and they must have raised them correctly. His children marry, and here are eight people that are walking and serving God in the midst of a society that the Bible says was wicked and corrupt before the Lord, and a society that was filled with violence. Verse 12, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God doesn't have anything good to say about that generation. They died without God. But they did not die without a witness. Noah was a preacher. I believe that Noah paid attention to what God had for him. I believe Noah paid attention to the signs around him, the things that were given to him. I believe Noah preached. I believe Noah prayed. I believe Noah prepared an ark for the deliverance of his family and for those that God had told him. Before God speaks unto Noah, and he says, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence." There's three times that we find that the Scripture says the earth was filled with violence. Now, you can't hardly read this unless you do make reference to the day when the Lord comes. I believe our earth today is filled with violence. I believe we find today that our world is filled and our society are filled with people that have had a witness, but yet they reject that witness. And I'm here to say that I believe upon the authority of the Word of God that they will not know it until it's too late. Just like Noah's generation. Now, Noah's generation died without God, but they did not die without a witness. They did not die without someone proclaiming, someone telling them. And Noah's family, I'm sure, lived in a peculiar way as far as the world was concerned. I can just imagine the neighbors of Noah and the people that knew Noah, and they looked at how they walked and talked, and they looked at how they conducted their affairs and how they took care of themselves, and it really stood out because everybody else was filled with violence. Everybody else was filled with wickedness. Everybody else had this idea that just to get all that they could do and to cheat and steal. But Noah lived differently, and that living was a witness to those around him. I believe he had a lifestyle that witnessed the Lord. I believe he had a message that witnessed of God. I believe he had both running simultaneously together, that his walk represented his talk and his talk represented his walk. And so his generation knew that something different about Noah, but yet they died without God. They all perished. They was without the Lord. Why? Because they were filled with wickedness. They were filled with violence. We know what you do when you fill something up. If it's full, it'll not hold another drop. Somebody said, "Well, I believe we can put one more drop in it." Well, if you can, it's not full yet. And so the Scripture says that this world that Noah lived in, around where he was living, everywhere God looked was wickedness. It even came to the part that God said, "Repent of me that I've even made man upon the earth." Violence filled the earth. Everything was ungodly, and even the thoughts and the imaginations. That goes down to the heart and the soul of man. Because when a person, it's one thing to set around wickedness, it's another thing to think about it continually. It's one thing to see it, but it's another thing to institute it. It's one thing to be around it, it's another thing to be involved in it. And it seems here that everything that these folks had was against the Lord. And the Bible says every imagination. Now we know what imagination is. We let our imaginations run. We begin to think about things that might be, and we just imagine some of these kids around school, they have great imaginations. I mean, they work overtime. But imagination is things that we are thinking about. And the Scripture says here that these folks, their imagination and their thoughts was only on wicked, ungodly, and their heart was filled continually with that kind of junk in their minds. Well, our generation today has a lot to deal with the same thing. You turn on the TV, all you see is ungodliness. You turn on the radio, all you hear is ungodliness. You turn on some Christian radio, so-called, and all you hear is ungodliness. I mean, we are bombarded continually. Everywhere we look, everywhere we go, everything we see is terrible. I mean, it surprised us to know some of the things that go on. It would surprise us some of the things that would go on in churches and places that are called places of worship. But the hearts and the thoughts of men in Noah's day was only on ungodly, wicked things. But it wasn't because Noah didn't tell them. It wasn't because Noah didn't preach. It wasn't because that Noah wasn't a righteous man, because the Bible says Noah walked with God. There's not about two people that's said about that walked with God, and he had a relationship, a fellowship, that everywhere he was, God was right there with him, and God was directing him, and God was guiding him, and I dare say God was protecting him from that generation. They were marrying, giving in marriage. They were just living the way they wanted to live. They had no time for anything or anybody else. And God finally says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You see, there comes a deadline with the Lord. There comes a place where God says enough is enough. Now, I don't know where that is, and we're not to know where that is. But there is a time when God says that's all. And God had come to this place here with these folks. And he told Noah, he said, my spirit will not always strive with man, for that he is flesh. Then he tells us here, his days shall be 120 years. God says, their time is up, and I'm going to give them 120 years. And during that time, Noah preached, Noah prayed, Noah proclaimed, Noah prepared an ark. Can you imagine how they talked about Noah? I mean, if they talk about us for going to church and believing God and believing the things we believe, wonder what they said about Noah and his family. And by the way, Noah didn't build some little boat out here that floated in a pond. Noah built an ark. And I don't know how he did it. He may have had to hire some people to help him. By all lot, now my imagination's wandering. See, we all have it. I don't know how he built all that. I don't know how he got it all up there and how it all came together. He may have hired some of that ungodly world to help him, and while he's helping, he's preaching. Whatever it is, I do know that Noah walked with God. And you cannot walk with God unless you tell somebody about your God. So I know Noah was a preacher. I know he was a witness, but yet the generation died without God. And so here's a crowd that the Lord says over where we read, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So that tells me that before the Lord comes, there's going to be wickedness and violence and ungodliness and imaginations and thoughts on evil continually. But also, there's going to be some people that walk with God. There's going to be some people that witness the things of the Lord to the world around. They may not listen, but we try to tell them. And if they're not careful, they'll end up like this crowd, and they'll not know it's happened until it's too late. They'll not know the Lord has come, even though they've heard about it. Even though they've heard message after message after message. And they've said, maybe they've been part of that crowd that said, we've heard that all of our life. Hadn't happened yet. I don't believe it's going to happen. We're smarter than that now. We don't have to have those kind of folklore stories. We've been enlightened and we understand things differently. And they'll not know until it happens. And they'll die without God and go to hell, just like Noah's day. They were taken up in worldliness and they did not hear God's word. They refused the warnings that God had given through Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah walked with God. Noah had children. Noah built an ark. Noah heard the voice of God, come in. And God shut the door. And the whole generation perished. Brother, when God shut the door, time of grace was over. Wasn't any more second chances. Wasn't any more messages. Wasn't any more stories. And so here's a generation that has a witness, but yet they reject it. And the end result is the ark floated, had 8 souls in it, and they perished. What a terrible, terrible story. But they had a witness. Was Noah to blame for them perishing? No. Was Noah at fault because they would not listen? No. Was Noah not preaching? I believe he was preaching, so he proclaimed the word and the world around him was wicked and ungodly and they rejected it. They refused the warnings, but Noah did what God told him to do, but they died without God. So was it Noah's fault? No. It was not his fault. He did what God told him to do. So here's a generation that dies and goes to hell with a witness. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, Lot's a different story. Totally. If it was not for one verse of Scripture in the Bible that says just Lot, meaning justified, we would preach him lost because he was not a witness. He did not walk with God. He was affected by the society in which he lived. Not only was he affected, notice the contrast. Not only was he affected, but his children were affected. And his wife was affected. Now, Noah's family was affected by his righteousness. Because they got in the ark and they were safe. Noah's wife was in there and Noah's sons and his sons' wives, they were in the ark because there was a witness that they had and they accepted and they believed God. And so they were redeemed or they were saved. They were taken through the flood. But when you come later on in the book of Genesis, you find that there's a man by the name of Lot. Boy, he has a lot going against him. Now, Lot lived in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah cities. And we don't have to go into the detail. We know that every imagination, every thought of that generation, that society around Lot was wicked and evil and corrupt and ungodly. It resulted in the fact of men being with men and women with women. It resulted in a union that was unholy and unrighteous. It's called sodomy. Now, we don't hear that word much today. That's a biblical term. We hear homosexual. Well, the biblical term is sodomy. It comes from the word Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Lot, the Scripture says that he was just. The Scripture tells us that he had a justified spirit. But the Scripture also tells us that Lot had a real problem in dealing with things on a spiritual realm. He had a real problem of doing what was supposed to be done and to tell that generation around him there was a God. Now here, this is a society that does not have a witness. They do not have anyone to tell them. Lot should have, and Lot ought to have been that one walking with God, and his family should have stood out like Noah's family did, but no, they blended in. We hear a lot about that today. Well, I don't want my children to be any different. You better want your children to be different than the world. You need to strive for that. We need to strive that our children, our grandchildren, they don't be like the world, because that world will overtake them. And if not careful, it'll destroy them. But the Scripture tells us that when Lot was there in Sodom, he kept his mouth shut. Because when the angels came and told Lot, said, "We're going to destroy this city, and if you can find X amount of people, we'll not do that." So Lot goes out on a journey. He goes out and he tries to tell people that God is going to destroy. And the Bible says they mocked him. Why did they mock him? Because he'd never said that before. He'd never had that message out of his mouth before. The Bible says that Lot saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. He cast his eyes toward it, and then he cast his tent before it, and then all of a sudden he's in it. And then the Bible says he sat at the gate. He had some kind of authority. He was one of the boys. He was one of the fellows that had a little bit of authority in the town, because he'd kept his mouth quiet. He wasn't a witness. Now, Noah was a witness. And Noah had everything going for him because of his witness. Lot had nothing going for him. Well, what kind of society was Lot in? I believe it was just like Noah's. As the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And likewise, that word means same as. Just like Noah's day was wicked, Lot's day was wicked. Just like Noah's day was filled with violence, I believe all you got to do is read the passages, and those men were wild and crazy. They desired to have relationship with even the angels that came and warned Lot. And Lot was so ungodly that he offered his own children to that crowd. Lot didn't have a witness. Noah's generation died and went to hell because they rejected, but they had a witness. And when they stand before God and when they answer to God, they're not going to be able to say, "Well, Noah didn't tell us," because Noah did tell them. But when that generation of Sodomites and that generation that was living around Lot, when they stand before God, they'll say, "Why didn't Lot tell us?" For he did not have a witness. So you have a generation that dies without God with a witness. You have a generation or a society that dies without God without a witness. Whose fault? Wasn't Noah's fault. Whose fault in Sodom? I believe a whole lot of it lies at the door with Lot. A whole lot of it lies because Lot did not take his responsibility seriously. He didn't want to be around Abraham. Abraham was righteous. Abraham was a man of God. And as soon as he could, old Lot said, "I'll take this way and you can go that way." Their herdsmen began to fuss and fight among themselves. And Abraham, being the gentleman that he was, offered Lot, "You see it all, take your choice." Rightfully, Abraham should have said, "Here it is before us. I'm the elder. Here's what I'm taking, and you can have what's left." But Abraham, he gave Lot the opportunity. And so Abraham said, "Here's the land before us. If you go to the right hand, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. It's not good that brethren fuss and fight." So Abraham, separation. And the Bible says that Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. I have said so many times, as Lot looked upon that, he saw opportunity to have a good place for his cattle to mature and to multiply and to grow. He saw the well-watered plains. He was more interested in his cattle than he was his children. For as he looked and cast his eyes on those plains, it was toward the city of Sodom. And you can't tell me that Lot didn't know the reputation of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Lot chose those things over the best. And again, they were wicked and ungodly, but they didn't have a chance to hear. They didn't have a witness. They didn't have anybody to tell them. They didn't have anybody to show them like Noah's generation. So who's to blame? See, they couldn't even refuse the warning. They didn't have a warning until it was too late. They couldn't refuse something because Lot had joined right in there with them and was having the things of life go on about him, and he could have cared less about spiritual things until God woke him up. Lot ended up losing his own children. He ended up losing his wife. And he's out of the city. He sees the fire fall from God. And Lot goes out and commits a terrible sin with his daughters. Lot was a very ungodly, self-centered, self-righteous individual. But the Scripture calls him just. So I have to say that he was justified. Like a lot of people today, they live like they want to live. They do what they want to do. They have the Lord in their heart, and they have everything that way as far as being justified, but they have no witness at all. If they were to go into their job place or the marketplace tomorrow and start talking about the Lord, they'd be like somebody that was mocking, just like that crowd around Lot. They looked at him and said, well, we've not heard that before. And they mocked him for telling them God was going to destroy. There are some Christians, if they were to go in tomorrow to their workplace and begin to talk about the Lord's coming, they would be mocked and ridiculed because they'd never heard that before. I know some folks that when they go to work, they talk about biblical things. So it wouldn't be no shock. It wouldn't be out of the ordinary. It wouldn't be out of the ordinary at all for somebody to hear something come out of their mouth about the Lord because they do that. But some people, they never do that. And what a shock it would be. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were full of perversion. Paul tells us it's a wicked sin. But they did not have a witness. They did not have anyone to tell them. For Lot separated from godly Abraham. He lived with sinners. He made no statements concerning God until it was too late. He saw his family disintegrate. He saw his wife turn to salt. Lot sinned with his two daughters. No wonder Lot's neighbors went to hell. No wonder his society died without God. Today, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. There are those that are perverted, wicked, thoughts evil, but somebody's warning them and somebody's telling them. Likewise, as the days of Lot were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And so they're living the same way, but they don't have anybody sitting beside them. They don't have anybody telling them. They don't have a Christian that's brave enough to speak to them about the Lord. No witness. They both go to hell. Both groups go to hell because there's no acceptance. One has opportunity. One has no opportunity. One man's heart is clear. The Old Testament says we've been put as a watchman on the wall. If the watchman see the enemy approaching, then he's to cry out. He's to sound that clarion trumpet that the enemy is approaching. And God says if he don't sound it, then the blood is on his hands. Lot, I'm afraid, has bloody hands. A lot of Christians will have. Noah did not have. For he sounded the warning. He preached. He prayed. He prepared an ark. He did all the things God told him to do because he walked with God. Noah walked with God. Lot walked with sinners. End result, two different things as far as their family is concerned. But the same result, a lost generation dying without God. And when Jesus comes again, I think there's going to be those that are telling and proclaiming, and then I think there'll be those that are saying nothing, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. May God help us. I don't want to fall in the Lot crowd. I want to be in that group that walks with God and gives a message, tells a story, warns. Now, Lot probably wasn't made fun of. Lot probably didn't suffer any kind of verbal abuse. I probably think Noah did. Lot didn't seem out of place because he sat there with them. He was in it. Lot didn't have any physical abuse because he was one of the boys. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather stand before God like Noah than stand before men and be accepted. May God help us to warn our generation. He is coming. And we better be ready. We better be prepared. It's not an ark this time, but it's the Lord. It's not the ark of safety that pictures the Lord. It's the real thing. It's the Lord. Trusting Him, believing Him, knowing Him. Warning people of the impending judgment and fall of mankind. I'd rather be Noah as Lot. Let's stand together tonight.